Blog Talk Radio.
Dangling from the ceiling, kicking frantically. All right. So, you know what? I do have to dive right into it. How was your weekend?
It was okay. I mean, you know, nothing special other than, you know, fantastic overnight investigation at an amazing location that dates back to 1600. Well, roughly, it was left 1610. It was the second successful English settlement on the New World. That would be Henricus Historical Park in Henrico, Virginia. And I'll tell you, what a fantastic location. The shadow play that we got to watch. I've actually got a couple of EDPs that I'm going to play tonight that I captured there that just leave me, well, speechless pretty damn much. Got one of my investigators freaked out. He got a tug on his belt loop and a nice deep exhale breath right in his ear. And I will quote him, to the point I could feel the breath. Nobody closer than 5 feet around him. Keep in mind, this is a, 240-pound, 18-year seasoned police officer. Got the shit freaked out of him. Overall, it was pretty amazing. Hanging out all night, Friday night, with Steve and the crew from Transcend Paranormal down at Henricus. Definitely a good weekend. How was yours, my friend? Not as good, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely more adventurous and more of a holy shit than what I've had. And seriously, I tell everybody, once you hear the EVPs, not Dennis and I joking around about EVPs. This is honest to God true stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not going to bullshit. These were so good that I'm actually reaching out to a few very well-known names in the paranormal community to find out how to isolate the frequency these were recorded at, so I can prove that they were not one of my teammates. It's not misidentification. It's the actual UVP as captured from three different, actually. There are three recorders running, and I'm going to play the one that I've uploaded to the board from just one of them. I actually have my SoundCloud set up, but you can go on to my SoundCloud and listen to them. And I'm kind of speechless. But at any rate, those will be forthcoming. I will open the board up at that time. Anybody that has any question on them, anybody that, you know, wants to doubt them, you know, you're more than welcome to call into the show. It's quick and easy to call in. You're going to hit 323. Where in the hell did my number go? 323-580-5703. Once we open up the board for it after the call or after the play is done, I want to hear what everybody's thoughts on it are. Now, Matt has heard them. You know, Matt's been to my SoundCloud and listened, and I actually uploaded another one tonight that's a minute and a half long instead of just the clip where the EVP was actually captured. It's the prior to and the after. And the reason I did that was so you can hear the three voices of all three investigators, myself included, that were in the room when this voice was captured. I'm baffled.
Like, I honestly, right now, I'd say play it. just due to the fact that we don't know, well, I don't know if you have to dial the volume back or what, but might as well give it a whirl.
So you want me to go ahead and play which one? I'll tell you what, I'll give them the teaser. I'll give them the teaser. And this is where one of the investigators was asking about keeping his flashlight on. This is in, it's a building at Henricus Park that is called Rock Hall. So let me see if I can find this. It should be fairly easy, and for some reason it's hiding from me.
Look, all the way at the bottom.
No, it's not. Here we go. This one's 13 seconds long.
Can I keep this flashlight on?
No.
I can't keep that on?
No.
Yeah.
Here. Pull the glow stick.
Now, I'll give you a reference on this one real quick. This was one of the investigators that is brand new to it. He's actually not one of my investigators. He was just along for the ride, so to speak. He came out of the Jeep in the parking lot and said point blank that he's a skeptic. Great. I love skeptics on my investigations and shit like that, and hopefully something happens that we can change your mind. He got back in the Jeep going, oh, my God, man, that was so cool. So I'll play it again, and what you're listening for is after the second time I told him no, that he couldn't keep the light. And you'll keep hearing the click, and that's the light going on and off. That's why I didn't want him to keep the damn light. So here we go again.
Can I keep this flashlight on?
No.
I can't keep that on?
No.
Yeah.
Here. Pull the glow stick.
And then I handed him a glow stick, and that's the last thing he heard was me telling him, keep the glow stick. So.
Yeah, that, are you talking about that?
Yeah. Exactly. Now, that one's not much to debate. It's simply a yeah, and you can tell it's a little grainy, it's a little fuzzy. That's typically what we catch for EVPs. The other one that I've got to come up yet is not staticky. It's what it is. It's a friggin' EVP. So I don't know. Hell, I'll go ahead and run that one too.
Well, kind of first play the EVP that we caught in the hotel room.
Really? You want to play that
one?
Oh,
yeah.
It was pretty damn clear, but, you know, usually you're not very fond of that one. Do you want the shorter version or the longer one where the second spirit fell off the bed?
The longer version.
There we go.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Still makes me giggle.
For reason being is for everybody who's going to hear this EVP, right, obviously that was me. Listening to the second one is above and beyond. Like, it's so normal, it's not even funny.
Now, go ahead and take a minute and give your theory on EVP and so forth. I'll be right back.
All right. Well, with a EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon, that for everybody who's not familiar with it, is a spirit voice coming through in, like, basically on a recorder, doesn't matter if it's reel-to-reel or a digital, it's a voice that you don't hear. Well, the problem with this EVP is I cannot discern the actual voices that are, like, in pretty much in the room, along with something that's outside of the room. And Dennis and I have had a conversation about this, and he swears to me, which I will 100% back him up, that this is legitimate. And if in fact that it truly is, it's definitely a hell of a catch. You with us again or no? Hello?
Hey, there we go. Yeah, I'm a moron.
There you are.
For this stupid thing to unlock me and unmute me. I don't know why it even muted me. I must have clicked wrong. But, yeah, I mean, on that note, you know, like I said, one of the investigators that was in the room with me is 18-year police officer. Neither one of us heard a damn thing, which kind of shocks me that as loud and clear on the recording as the EVP itself actually is, even the yeah that I just played, neither one of us heard. The next one that I'm going to play, which is just the clip, and then I'm going to play the full thing where I haven't clipped anything. It's straight off my recorder, straight into my computer system. The only thing I did was clip it, where it goes pretty much in the dead silence and all you hear are crickets, which, by the way, the crickets are loud as shit there, but that's irrelevant. But I did look at, now I'm just using a little cheap piece of software, free software called Audacity. It does some wonderful shit. So for my own use, I looked at the spectrogram on these EVPs. And you can see where our voices come across on the graph. And then way below our voices on the graph, you see this voice come across. I don't have software that will tell me exactly, you know, okay, it broadcast at, you know, 5 hertz. So I can't really tell you what it broadcast at or what it was received at. So that's where I'm reaching out to some of the well-known names in the industry to see if I can find out. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and play this second one, and I'll leave it up to you folks. You're the listeners. You tell me what you hear. You know, you can either put it in the chat, or, like I said, you can call in at 323-580-5703, and I'll let you decide. But I'll tell you what we have. Hey, Matt, should I go ahead and bring in our guest?
Well, if you want to play it first and then...
All right. Yeah, let me do that. I'm going to go ahead and play this first, and then we'll bring Jason Musgrove in with us. And, Jason, while you're sitting there, this will give you a chance to listen to the EVP that I was bragging about, and you can tell me what your opinion of it is as soon as I can find this damn thing again. I just looked at it, and where in the hell did it go? Now I'm getting pissed. Dude, I can't find it on the board now. Got Harlem Shake. Anybody want to hear that? Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, there's the full one, but that's a minute and a half long. Where in the hell did it go? Dude, I looked at it just 3 minutes ago. I know what I named it, and it ain't there.
You would lose your fucking head if it wasn't attached to your shoulders.
All right, well... Here's this one. I found it, finally. I don't know why it moved, but anyway, this is a little short one. All I did, like I said, I took it straight out of my recorder, straight to the board. So here we go.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
No. One more.
The first one that gets anything... That's where we congregate.
Goodness.
And you hear my voice saying, the first one who gets anything, that's where we congregate. And the voice that comes back and says, it's either get this or getting this. That's what I can't justify. It's not any one of our voices. So I'll play it one more time and let you hear the response that I got back that has me just dumbfounded. You can tell how much louder than my own voice it is. From this recorder, I was standing probably 3 feet, 4 feet away.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
I'm pretty much speechless by it.
Dude, I'm still beside myself with that capture. But
yeah,
yeah,
like I said, I've got to see the spectrum that it was captured at. In a little bit, when I play the full version, you'll hear Graham and Harry, who were the two other people in the room with me. Graham is my almost two decades as a law enforcement officer. And he'll testify just like I will. There's nobody else in the room, and this is not any of our voices. But let me go ahead and bring Jason in, and we'll see what his opinion of it is. Hey, Jason, you with us, my brother?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you doing,
sir? Oh, not too bad. Just taking it easy. Just got back from doing the Miramont Castle investigation, which was completely amazing.
Yeah,
Castle.
You're kind of a lucky bastard on that one, because nobody's ever done that before, right?
That is correct. Eric and Tamil are right. They are the ones who were actually in charge of that event. I wouldn't even call it an event. It was just like a public investigation where the castle opened up their doors for the first time ever for the investigation, and it did not fail. We had some great evidence that came from there. One of the reasons why it was one of my favorites investigation, my newest one, I should say, is because the spirits there, I guess the way I would want to put it is that they kind of haven't been tainted or annoyed by a lot of paranormal investigators throughout the years. So when we go in there, it's fresh to them.
Cool. Can you give us a little background on the castle itself? Like, when was it built and any history on it?
Well, I don't know too much about when it was built and whatnot. Eric knows the specs on that. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to do all that research. But I do know it does have a pretty interesting history. It did have a father there that had some accusations that were made against him. And he was only there for like 5 years, and then they basically snuck him out of the castle so he wasn't lynched by a lot of people. But other than that, you know, it was just, I believe at one point in time, it was also a tuberculosis sanatorium, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody's listening, you can see the blog there. Go ahead and, like, write the correct information so people will know. But, yeah, it was a great place. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people want to hear about how it was dark and there was a lot of bad things there, but actually it was nothing like that at all. It was, I wouldn't say they were friendly, but there was nothing bad or malevolent there at all whatsoever. I think they were just more interested in why all these people were there investigating. We got some great EVPs from that as well. And I would consider it a great training ground for anybody that's interested in the paranormal. Definitely. Good place to start. And for the, I wouldn't say experts, but for the more experienced.
Well, how open is that location now, or is it pretty much just that was a trial run to say, I don't know, but hey, let's see what's here kind of thing? Does that make any sense?
Well, I do know that a lot of the major networks in the past have tried to investigate it, and they've basically turned them down. You know, and there's definitely a respect issue that's involved because, nobody wants anyone to come to the location and do a lot of provoking and create a negative environment for the next people that to come in there. But when there's actually not even a negative environment involved in the first place, as far as being open to the public, I think it would basically take an act of Congress to get or to be allowed to investigate in this building. But, you know, I think they're, from what I understand, you know, they're just seeing how it goes, you know, and playing it by ear at this point. But the staff there, everybody there was amazing. The hospitality of the Marymount Council was completely amazing. The town was great in itself as well. It's just one of those places where you can just get away, not only for the investigation, but it basically felt like a vacation, not just an investigation. So that's the amazing part of it.
Well, it must be nice. Most of the investigations I end up going to don't really give you a vacation feel.
No, we normally see the light of day when we're out doing this kind of thing. It is nice to be able to get out and actually enjoy, you know, the local establishments that are around there and meet the people of the town. They were just great all around, great people. I suggest that if anybody can get in the Marymount Castle, good luck for one, but it's definitely worth the trip.
No, where is it located at?
In Mattu Springs, Colorado.
Okay. Which, of course, this time of year, it's probably getting pretty damn nipply up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty cold. You know, my Vegas blood wasn't used to it when I got down there. And all I had was like a light jacket, and the good part of it was that the building was actually heated, so that's a luxury for us paranormal investigators. We normally just look at cold bars and concrete and deal with it, but it was awesome.
Yeah, well, that was, and one of the cool things about Henricus Park over the weekend was, like I said, this thing was founded in 1611, so, you know, I got to go on Thursday night and do a tour there and, you know, find out some history on it. That one was kind of cool. But, yeah, it definitely wasn't quite as cool as getting to go to a castle.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Dennis, is that in the town itself, it's, you know, there's it's not just one particular castle that's there. I mean, the town has many different locations to investigate. Like Friarhurst, that's another place. I believe that was on Taps at one point in time. You just basically have to do your research about the town, but you'll find these locations. I mean, I would say it's one of the paranormal's best-kept secrets as far as a town goes. It reminded me a lot of Savannah, Georgia, and it had the same vibe. When I investigated the Moon River Brewery and then could tour that city, it pretty much had the same vibe. It's just another one of my favorite places, I can say, definitely.
Well, awesome. Any upcoming investigations that you want to tell us about?
I'm sorry, you were a little muffled there.
Yeah, sorry. It's, you know, part of being on America's Most Reliable Network. I asked if you had any upcoming investigations that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, actually, I do have an event down in San Antonio, and that's we got a lot of cool people coming down there. We've got Scott Grenwald, we have the Constantinos, we got Victor and Linda Salazar, Angelica Rogers. I mean, it's going to be a great event, a really, really great event. That's down in San Antonio, and that's going to be November 1st and the 2nd at the, I can't even remember right now. I've been all over the place. I will tell you by the end of the show, how's that? But Emily Morgan, there we go, Emily Morgan. Okay. But, I normally don't do too many events, but, you know, as of lately, I'm just trying to give it a shot and see how it goes, and, you know, so far so good. But I usually just stick to just investigations, you know. You know how I go rogue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't do very many events ourselves. But,
yeah. I like the events. I like the fact of, you know, networking, people come together. But I think sometimes it kind of loses touch of what it's really about. And in my opinion, I'm going to go ahead and say this, but in my opinion it comes – to be sometimes more of a popularity contest than actually about paranormal investigating. And that's kind of why I'm a little hesitant about attending events. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great dudes in there, and I get the whole networking thing, but it's just not for me.
You know, I will definitely 1,000% agree with that. And, I mean, when you go to an event or you're featured at an event or something like that, you have people coming up to you left and right, and you do your thing. But the truth of the matter is, like, when to actually sit down and have a conversation with somebody is totally different than what they are at an event. And not saying, and I'm totally not saying that anybody is, like, fake that you meet at the events, but
right.
You gotta understand, like, that, you know, your head's spinning so much, and there's so much going on, and you're meeting so many people that you're like, oh, yeah, Lisa, Steve, Dave, Bruce, Nancy, I think, and
right.
That's when it starts. It starts to get to mush, and it's so often meet everybody, but in the frequency of how often people come up to you, it is honestly really hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. And I can assure you that I'll never sell an autographed picture of myself for $20. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand the whole celebrity thing and whatnot, but I mean, we're in this field because we love it, not because we're trying to capitalize on it. At least I'm not anyways. So, I mean, I've had more money going out than I've had. Actually, I've never had any money come in from the paranormal at all whatsoever. But I've spent, I think we've had this conversation before, Matt. Last year, I spent over $25,000 in paranormal investigations. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was just behind you on when I did my taxes. I was at 24 on equipment, travel, you know, like all that shit. Yeah. No, I totally understand what you're saying.
Yep. It's you know, the passion that we have, the love that we have, I mean, it's well worth every single penny that I've spent and every sleepless night. Sometimes even sleeping in my car at the location because I got there too late. You know, here's a funny story for you. I was in Georgia at the time, and I went down and investigated with George Lopez down in Florida. I drove 10 hours, because I had to be at work the next day, but I drove 10 hours down to Florida, investigated that night, left at 5 o'clock in the morning, drove all the way back, and went to work. That's so much I love this stuff.
Yeah, holy shit. That's definitely dedication.
Yeah. Yep. And,
you should have taken the bike. It would have been a lot faster on the bike.
Yeah, but, you know, the amount of tickets that I'm trying to avoid right now with that, it's already hard enough, you know, riding around here with all these jerks on the road. But, oh, man.
Yeah, this would not be it's not very bad here on bikes because they kind of look out for you. But, I mean, I went up to D.C. I used to commute from Richmond to D.C., and, you know, they look out for you up there because they've got such a huge influx of motorcycles coming into the town for the commuters.
But, I'd
much rather be out in the country.
Yeah, it's not like that here in Vegas. You're on a motorcycle basically the whole time. You just got to watch everywhere, you know, completely 360 degrees because, people get killed all the time here riding their bikes around, and the majority of them are hit and runs, unfortunately. But
yeah, that's kind of common. But let me change up real quick, Jason. While you were sitting on hold right before I brought you in, I played that EVP. Were you able to hear it?
No, I did not hear it.
All right. Well, let me play this. I want to get your take on it. This is just a little short one. And then I'll give you the details on what it was. Or you're listening for the last two words in this thing.
All right.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
The last two words were not my team.
Yeah. What was, can you paint me a picture of the environment, you know, even to the detail of the floors, everything? Because, I mean,
sure.
I'm not skeptical. I'm just trying to get a broader picture of what you're playing me.
Sure. This was shot at Henricus Historical Park, which is just down the road from me in Henrico, Virginia, outside Richmond. Mm-hmm. It was the second successful English settlement. They have some of the buildings they believe are still original. Of course, they've had work done to them, and being that it was settled in 1611, there was Indian land prior to that. In 1622, apparently the Indians decided, you know what, you bastards, you chased us off our land 11 years ago. We want it back. So they went back and massacred, if I remember right, 300-plus people.
Okay.
Now, the house that we were in is called Rock Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's all hardwood floors, you know, just rough sawn timbers. Supposedly, according to the historian there, which is John, who is also with Transcend Paranormal, another team here in the Richmond area that I actually set up with to go for this investigation, according to him, in the upstairs right bedroom is where Captain John Smith and Pocahontas slept. The Reverend slept in the upstairs left bedroom. And they don't know what all energies are in this place, but they've had just numerous reports there. My right-hand man or lead investigator, whatever you want to call him on my team, has 18 years as a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
Something there yanked on his belt loop and let out a deep, breathy exhale right in his ear, to quote him, to the point I felt the breath on my ear. Nobody was any closer than 5 feet to him. So after the other team had pretty much, there's actually a building there where everybody will actually just stay the night. They'll throw a sleeping bag on the floor or whatnot. After the other team and any visitors and guests were all gone, Graham, who is my lead, Harry, who is his cousin's stepson, claims to be a skeptic, well, did prior to this place. The three of us went back into this building. Well, as we were going there, I'm telling them how I want to do this. I said, you know, I want to go in three different areas, you know, see what we get, and if we get anything, then, you know, whoever gets a good noise in their room or anything like that, then that's where we'll go. So to set up the EVP here, I had said that, you know, the first one that gets anything, that's where we'll congregate. And the voice that I've got coming back at me, as you heard on the EVP, says, get this or getting this. I'll play it one more time and let you hear, but it's all just hardwood and old furnishings and everything else. So here we go, one more time.
Okay.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
Okay. Hey, Dennis?
Yeah.
Okay. Two things that I'd like to see from this, but I'll tell you what I think I hear. Two things to in order to clean it up. What kind of audio program do you use?
I use Audacity, but I didn't do anything other than highlight that section, copy it to a new screen in Audacity, save it by name, and upload it to the board.
Yeah.
Okay. I did no modifications to it whatsoever. And
right.
It's actually still sitting on my recorder, just like I captured it. Now,
okay.
Here's another point. You can hear how low my voice is.
Right.
I was about 3 or 4, maybe 5 feet away from the recorder. I had three recorders rolling simultaneously, and this is on all three, and is louder than any one of our three voices. That's the part that stumps me.
Yeah. Will you play it one more time for me?
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
All right, what question did you ask?
I didn't ask a question, actually. We hadn't even started the EVP session.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like it says kidnapped.
Well, I'll tell you, if you go to my SoundCloud, SoundCloud.com, I've got it uploaded there, and I also have a full minute and a half one that encapsulates all three of our voices. And we had already gone through the building, made sure nobody else was in the building. It's not at an open window or anything like that. There was nobody around the house. You can go to my SoundCloud, just soundcloud.com, CPR Dennis, and I've got it on there as Rock Hall Get.
Because
that was my reference for what was happening. I wasn't even, we hadn't started a Q&A session yet to see if anybody would respond to us. I just simply told my other two guys, well, I'll tell you what, let me play this minute and a half one. It sets up for this.
Okay.
And you'll hear all three voices of who was in there. And you'll hear another one after this where we're arguing over whether or not Harry gets to keep the flashlight, which kept clicking on and off and pissing me off. So here's a minute and a half long EVP. You'll hear Harry introduce or tag Harry recording, and we'll go from there. So here we go.
Harry recording.
And just set that down like here. You still have something in there. You don't need to, put it up to your mouth or anything.
Right. I love you, brother. I'm not trying to be a little bitch, but I ain't gonna say it by myself.
You punk ass. I got this.
Why don't we all go upstairs? We just sit around.
Hell no.
Why?
I want to see where the first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
I'm keeping this flashlight on.
But if we split up...
I keep this flashlight on.
No.
I can't keep that on?
No.
Yeah.
Here. Hold the glow stick. But I'll go upstairs by myself. We're going to take that room and I'm going to sit upstairs.
I'll tell you not to sit upstairs.
Yeah.
So, there was the setup on it. I was, Harry was starting his record. I told him to set the recorder down here on the table, and the rest is what was captured. And like I said, I've got three recorders captured identical.
Now, you said the three recorders captured the same thing?
Right.
Okay.
And the cool thing about that, between the three recorders, depending on who had what recorder, you can hear a volume difference in us, but you can't hear a volume difference in that voice. Now, there were actually three things on that. Actually, I stopped it at a minute two or a minute five, I think. The rest of it just goes pretty much silent. It's just me talking to Graham about us going upstairs. So, one, you've got the getting this, and almost immediately you hear Harry say, can I keep this flashlight? I told him no. He said, so I can't keep the flashlight. I again said no, and then you hear the yeah, which was louder than he was, and this was captured off of his recorder. I had mine about 3, 4, maybe 5 feet away in my hand. Graham was 2 or 3 feet to my left, which would have put him 6 or 8 feet away from the recorder. And those, the voice that we can't Justify is just as loud on all three recorders, where our voices are at different levels.
Hmm. You know, what I'd really be good to see, Dennis, is that if you have any type of audio program where you can actually view the frequency fluctuation on that and see what level, you know, everybody else is and see where the EVPs are captured, that would be really good to do. You know, just for verification. I mean, it's a great capture. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. That's just, I guess I would say I'm a stickler when it comes to EVPs. I mean, I try not to leave anything out. But that's awesome. Good catch.
Exactly. I've actually got a call out. David Roundtree said he'd get back to me later this week, but he's busy as hell right now. But I know he's got the software or the equipment that he can actually look at the frequency responses. Now, I did try looking at it on Audacity on, I think it was like Spectrogram or something like that. You can see the line where I'm speaking is towards the top of the screen, and then when this thing speaks, it's towards the bottom of the screen. But it doesn't give me an exact frequency where it was actually captured.
Right.
So, you know, I can't say it was captured at, you know, 5 hertz or anything like that. I don't know. I just know it's on a totally different frequency on that screen than our three voices.
Wow.
Which, you know, that, and the main thing that I want, I mean, I never want anything put out there that's going to be questionable where they're going to say, oh, well, hey, what, you know, it's this, it's that. And, you know, I've actually even sent Mark and Debbie a message asking them if they would be interested in taking a look at it. But I'll gladly send them the recorder. You know, pull it straight off the recorder. I don't care. I want validation that, you know, this is indisputably not in the human speech frequencies.
Right. Well, here's the other question. Did you experience any orbs when you captured this?
It was pitch black other than when Harry kept flicking that damn light on. But,
You know, a good way to catch pictures of orbs is if you actually run through the building as fast as you can first and then take a bunch of pictures. You'll get thousands of them.
Well, no, not just run through the building. You have to shuffle your feet. That's what gets the orb energies stirred up.
That's the trick. It wakes them up.
But, yeah, I mean, the only thing that I relied on for video out of that location, which, I mean, actually on this one, I would have loved to have had video going, but I ran out. None of the buildings have any power to them. Only the, like, central meeting area has power to it. This building's probably 50, 75 feet away from that building, so there's no power whatsoever. But I ran out of batteries for my damn night vision, so I wasn't even able to, you know, and that would have helped. You know,
right.
Help, you know, look, there's only three people here, and look how close that was to the recorder volume-wise, but alas, I did not have battery strength.
Hmm. Wow.
It kind of happened.
Yeah, overall,
bite me.
Yeah, we got it. Pretty careful when we're on locations with no power sources because we all know how that goes.
Yeah. And much like an old spinster, the battery runs dead and you're usually going to be unhappy.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the end of the thing, all you have is a good ghost story.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I mean, overall, man, this was just a fantastic location. I captured couple more EVPs that are of your usual, you know, kind of staticky, got to listen real close to hear them, one of which was music. Probably 4:30 in the morning. Now, this place is like, shit, I think it's a mile and a half back of, like, access road to get there. There's not a damn thing nearby, but I've got music. And it kind of sounds like flutes and, you know, stuff like that. So that was really cool.
Wow.
Constantly could see, like, it looked like shadows darting in and amongst the trees. And that's, you know, that's one of the claims. But at one point, we're sitting out, there's a like an overlook over the river. And we're sitting out there just shooting the shit. We're getting ready to, we've already packed up our vehicles. We just want to take a minute and decompress and shoot the shit. So I've got a flashlight that's just brighter than hell. It's Ultra Stinger. It's like 170 lumens or some shit. Brightest hell. And it's kind of an adjustable beam light. Well, we're sitting on this picnic bench, and straight ahead of me is a wood line. Well, I just happened to reach up, and I just wanted to play with the focus on the flashlight. So I turned on the flashlight, and as I looked where the beam went, I saw something back up and duck down and just disappeared. And when I first spotted it, I went, what the hell? And it looked like full human size. But it just ducked down and disappeared. I'm like, what the fuck was that? But I couldn't justify it for, you know, anything. You know, I couldn't give you details on it. It just looked like this gray thing that, like, you could tell it kind of backed up and ducked behind a tree a little bit and then just ducked out of sight. But it was definitely a cool location. I mean, given the history of it, you know, 400-plus years of recorded history on the property, just made it really cool to play in.
Yeah, that's the other great thing. That's the other advantage of being a paranormal investigator, is that you get to go to these locations with tons of history, and I love history. And, I mean, not very many people get that opportunity to do that, especially at night by yourself. I love it. I mean, a lot of people like to go to Hawaii for vacations, and I go to investigate at night.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, the crickets were loud as hell there, but
mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. I'd much rather listen to a bunch of loud crickets than a bunch of loud assholes in the Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the issues that I had was when I was investigating the Mitzpah Hotels, because it was right there on the main street. It was just an EVP killer. So.
And, I mean, fortunately, well, the even cooler point about this night, being able to stay out there all night, this was this past Friday when we had, like, the super bright full moon.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't very many clouds at all. I mean, as the night wore on, actually about probably 2:30, 3:30, somewhere around there, it started getting cloud cover. But other than that, it was bright as hell out there. It was pretty sweet.
So that probably was Friday then, right?
Right.
Yeah, because, yeah, it was when we went into the Miramont Castle, I mean, that moon was so bright. And, I mean, I love investigating with the full moon because it gives you just enough light to be able to see without using a flashlight, without tripping over things, especially being in a museum. You know, you want to be very careful not to knock things over or break things.
Yeah.
And that would be bad.
So,
yeah,
what were some of the things that you got at the Miramont this past weekend?
Well, we are currently still reviewing the evidence for it. We did have a lot of captures. We had good spirit box sessions, that verified names of people that once resided in the castle. That was, of course, you know, I have a Pandora that I use, which never fails me. And we got some great immediate responses out of that. And the first night, Friday night, we have one of the, actually I believe it was Tim, Tim on Eric's daughter, she said that she saw a silhouette of a nun on the stairs. And then we had reports of people seeing shadow figures, being touched, and I actually, I didn't experiment myself with some of the people that were there from each group. I took one person, or a volunteer, I should say, and put them by themselves. I put one lady in the basement by herself for about a good 20 minutes. And I put her in the very back part of the cave with it at the time. You know, she was, I'm like, oh, do me a favor, just stay here. But if you feel like you're in danger or any trouble, feel free to leave, and you know, at any time, just be careful, you know, getting out, and I will come and check on you. So I put her in the back part of the basement, and then about 10 minutes later, I came back downstairs to check on her, and she was at the very front door right next to the light, and she looked pretty nervous. It was funny. And then I took another guy upstairs, and I put him, like, there's like a dining room area, and I put him in the very, very back part of it's like there's a little doorway, and I put him in the back part where I guess it's kind of a entrance to go upstairs. And then we put a marble on the floor and put a flashlight on the marble, and we tried that. But, I mean, these guys were troopers. I mean, you know, people who don't investigate every single day that are put in a situation like that, I mean, it can be kind of nerve-wracking. Grant, I know how that feels, absolutely. But when the guy was, I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, jeez. But he was in the very back, and he was, I don't think he saw it, but we actually saw some, I even witnessed this myself. It looked like we saw a shadow figure kind of like peeking around the door. So basically we're kind of setting up an area where he had one side covered, and then we were way down on the other end and had the other side covered. So if anything were to come out, we were trying to draw it out. We had a laser grid pin there too, but that was pointing in the opposite direction, which I wish it was going in that direction. But we did see, I believe, a partial of a shadow. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, one of the buildings there is called the Malady, which is hospital. It's just a long, empty building. It's got the old rough sawn timber, you know, the peg construction. And I set my laser grid up. Didn't catch anything in it. We had some oddities in it, but nothing that I could say was this or that. But this was pretty cool. At one point during the night, like, we were leaving Rock Hall after we got that, you know, this stretch of recording that I played. And we're walking back, like, from Rock Hall. If you walk straight out the door and straight across, you go to the Malady or the hospital. And then at, like, the 2 o'clock position, you have to go out and kind of veer right. That's how you go to, I don't know what the hell they call it, like the common area. We got 30, 40 feet away from the hospital, and we hear this loud bang. Like, what the hell? I mean, it sounded like somebody picked up a table and dropped it in there. But, I mean, it's fantastic. Of course, we don't have that on video. It's just a good personal experience to go, what the hell was that? But, yeah, I mean, overall, fantastic location.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say that from it's a toss up with me between the Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanitarium I investigated there with Joseph Johnson, and then the Miramont Castle, and of course Pure City. That was a pretty good one, but those are my top three as of right now as far as locations.
So it's a toss-up as to what the number one is, huh?
Do what?
I said it's a toss-up for the number one location?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we all have our favorite locations that we've investigated, our own personal experiences. And, I mean, it's just each of them have their own. It's not even just so much as the investigation itself. You connect with the environment. You connect with the building. Sometimes you almost feel like you've been there before at one point in time if you're into the past life thing. But I got that feeling from those locations. I hate to say the tuberculosis sanitarium. I hope that's not the case. But better than saying Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. But that's where we all know Copperhead. He seems to love that place, so we all know why. He's a great guy. I love Copperhead to death. But the Miramont Castle. I had no idea what to expect in this place at all. And it was, and I kind of like it that way too, because you know nobody's ever been there, and you don't hear too much folklore. You don't hear embellishment about you know the stories that were there or the evidence even. So it's you know getting a clean shot, you know, first shot of it. You know, it's great. It's very rare to that happen, especially to that extent.
Yeah,
what about you? Where's your favorite place at?
I'll let you handle it first, Matt.
My favorite place is something I can't discuss. Is well, not on air. I mean, it's a private residence.
Gotcha.
But my favorite public place would have to be, I would say, Great Escape, which is kind of by, like, O'Hare in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little, it's off of Irving Park Road, and it's kind of individual to where it's not like it's a public place. Like, it's a restaurant. You can go there. It's a bar. You can sit and have drinks and have fun with your friends, but there's something about it. It's just, it's weird.
Hmm.
I mean, the owner, Brian, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal person. And he will say, every single person that goes in there, he will say the same thing. You know what? The spirits that are here, I welcome them. I don't want them to go anywhere. I kind of just want them to leave me alone.
Hmm. Okay.
And he lives upstairs.
Wow.
So it's a sweet serenity kind of thing to where he accepts it. He's happy with it, but don't piss them off so they don't piss me off.
Right.
So that's, like, basically his thing is no provoking, no talking shit, no nothing. Like, you go in there, you have to be respectful. And they always produce. I caught a phenomenal, phenomenal shadow figure on video there.
Yeah. Wow.
I was showing it to Josh Gates from, and that's where we went after Ghost Conference 5, is it was myself, Josh Gates, Jeff Belanger.
Mm-hmm.
I went and grabbed my video recorder. I showed them, and they're like, holy shit, that's in this room? I'm like, yep.
Wow. Well, the provoking thing, the way I look at it is that, you know, you do have to be respectful at all times, and you know, you wouldn't walk into your neighbor's house and open the door and just start asking them a bunch of rude questions. You know, I mean, you have to be respectful. I mean, they were living at one point in time. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of investigators, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but there are some out there that don't take that into consideration. Because I know that one day when my time comes, if somebody comes in there provoking and, you know, asking stupid questions, I'm not going to respond.
Thank you.
I figured out that.
Well, thank you.
Matt and I have a pact. When one or the other of us dies, the remaining one has to go investigate them. And I figured out that no matter what
question is asked of me, I'm going to give an answer like donuts, coffee, bicycles, just random shit just to screw with him. I think it'll be fun. It'll make a good EVP session. Okay. Dennis, are you here with us? Donuts. Was that you talking to us? Bicycle.
Yeah. And Dennis, I wouldn't expect any less.
You know, that brought me up to something that I posted last week was, you know, with all due respect, but do you think that Patrick Swayze goes behind people that are making pottery just to make the other ghost laugh?
Dude, I love that. I saw that post and no, like it, you're honestly spot on. Like I seriously had no idea how to respond other than just click like and laugh.
Yeah.
I have so much shit going through my head, and you know my head works. It's disturbing, but yeah, no. I was sitting here looking at that post. I'm like, oh god, there's so much stuff I want to say. Nope, like whatever.
Yeah.
Hey Jason, did Matt ever tell you about the spirits that we captured in the hotel that we stayed at in Bethlehem for Parafest?
Oh. God.
No, he did not.
Oh, my God, dude. I'm not kidding. I had tears rolling down my face from, I mean, just the pure strength and power of the capture there. It was amazing. But here you go. Listen to this one. This was honestly captured in our hotel room.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Well,
yeah.
Some powerful spirits in our hotel room, brother.
Yeah, it was Jack Daniels and Vox Vodka.
That was my next question. Was there any absinthe involved?
No.
No.
No absinthe.
Well, actually, that's the one that we caught at like 20 after 3 in the morning, Matt. That was after you had been doing shots with Dave Tango and Grant, and I don't even know
yeah.
who else.
Yeah, Dave, Grant, Steve, fucking, you know what, and now that I think about that, and I'm going to digress for a moment, but now that I think about that, I think that Paul was actually there, but he didn't tell me who he was.
That could be, which Paul, by the way, is, you can find him on Facebook on Freddy vs. Jason.
Okay.
And this guy
and
does
not you,
phenomenal.
Dude. Yeah.
This guy does phenomenal voiceovers. Let's see, I guess I can find one here real quick. It's not very hard. But, I mean, he does just phenomenal shit. Let's see. God, I gotta start remembering the names of this shit. But this is one of his promos.
It's under reference.
Getting nightmares? Then you're not listening to Full Spectrum Radio, the best radio on the planet.
Was that the Cookie Monster?
Yes. Matter of fact, it was. But
dude, that's,
he run
that's
around
what you tell Paul to do.
Yeah,
Paul,
he ran around.
Paul has to do a Cookie Monster voiceover.
That would be kind of cool. I'll bet I can get him to do it, too.
Cookie.
Yeah. I can't do it, but
cookies. But yeah, he ran around the whole event while he was actually doing Freddy, and the Joker as well. Well, I had met him in costume as Freddy and told him how great he was and everything. You know, I enjoyed watching him. I mean, he was scaring the shit out of people. Matt and I were laughing our asses off at him. Well, I told him to catch up with me after you get out of character and so forth. So he comes up and he's just this little quiet-looking guy and shakes my hand, shakes Matt's hand. I introduced Matt. You know, Matt, this is Paul. Paul, this is Matt. And Matt's like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you. And Paul leans in and goes, and I'm also the Joker, too. And Matt's like, holy shit, dude. That was you? But, yes. Just the look on Matt's face, I mean, Paul does an amazing job at it.
Wow.
But, yeah, we had a blast. And that's how we ended up doing the lead-in for us. Let's see. I have a question out of chat for you. Ross joins us out of Canada every week, and thanks again for joining us, Ross. But he wants to know if you have a steady team or do you work with any group on location?
I normally investigate solo. The only time that I'll investigate with people is normally, like when I'm doing events or whatnot, when it's like a public thing like that. But for the most part, I'll just go solo. But you know, I don't have anything against working with different teams. I mean, I've had the opportunity to investigate with some good teams across the U.S., which is, you know, to me, I look at it as like I'm not limited, you know, just to one group, you know, and I don't have to worry about, you know, offending people with wanting to investigate with other teams. So I learn something from each experience from these people. And I think that makes me, you know, you're always learning in this field, always learning.
Well, and that's a question I ask everybody, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. What's your opinion of somebody coming out saying that they're a expert or that being labeled as an expert in the field?
If they call themselves an expert, I basically would laugh at them because, you know, even at this point with this many paranormal investigators out in the field, we've barely even scratched the surface, barely even scratched the surface of what we can prove, even scientifically. We're not even close to having the technology to even prove this, as far as I, you know, from my own studies and whatnot. But if David Roundtree keeps working on what he's working on, that might change pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. He is somebody, and for everybody out there listening, keep an eye. David may possibly come up with something that is going to be extremely groundbreaking, and it'll
right.
help all of us.
Yeah, he's got some really good ideas. He's one of the people that I have to respect in the paranormal. He's always kept it real. You know, his theories are amazing. He's highly intelligent when it comes to paranormal, definitely. And with his background, it says a lot.
Yeah, education doesn't hurt the other kind of things that he's working on either.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never opened a book. I've never had a conversation with him to where I thought it was intelligent. Well, no, let me rephrase that. It was too intelligent for me to understand.
Yeah.
That's how David operates. And he's a great friend and always has been. Him and Tracy, and they're doing some great, great shit, and I'll support them. Hands down, no questions asked. Same with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great because, you know, just meeting different people in the field and listening to their experiences and their theories, and you know everybody has a different view on it, a different experience. So it's really hard to say or use the term expert. I think people are kind of realizing that now, because during the beginning of this big rush of the paranormal, a lot of people were calling themselves paranormal experts. And then they realize, you know, as I did at one point in time, I really don't know that much, you know. I mean,
the only thing I can call myself an expert at is over drinking and smoking too much. I got those two mastered.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that shit we talked about on last show on Wednesday, and it is one of those things to where I wholeheartedly believe that there is somebody, and it's probably going to be somebody who you wouldn't expect, that is going to come across the Holy Grail by accident. But it is also somebody who doesn't know what they have, and that's where I think it's a possibility where it's already happened. Somebody has something that's in their file, and they would actually just, like, post a photo of an orb or whatever, as we all know is 100% truth of existence of the beyond. But, no, like, I think it's somebody who's going to come across it on accident, and it will actually come to light of some, like, the reason why we all do this.
Right. You know, and the same thing with the first EVP that was ever captured. That was by pure accident as well. It was,
which was in 1827.
It was, well, from what I understand, the guy was trying to capture birds whistling, and then replayed it, and then heard some EVPs on it. And that was in an old reel-to-reel.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Dennis.
Now, I'd love to have, you know, like, reporting glasses and shit on at all times so I can see what the hell's around me that I don't actually pay much attention to. You know, case in point was St. Elizabeth's Hospital up in D.C. I was hoping to do a remodel up there, and I don't think this is going to go over well, but the Department of Homeland Security is taking the buildings over and remodeling them to be office spaces. St. Elizabeth's Hospital is the first federal government insane asylum. You want to talk about a place that is just loaded with energy? I don't think there was a contractor on property that didn't have shit happen to them. I actually, as long as I've been dealing with this crap, you know, a decade plus, I actually watched with my own eyes my first full-bodied apparition that I can describe clothing and everything to you from 5-6 feet away, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And just wasn't real sure what the hell I saw, but, you know, it went through a doorway right in front of me. I popped up and went out the doorway, and there wasn't a damn soul standing there. But I watched him walk by the door, and there was nowhere for him to go. It's 50 feet in any given direction for him to go somewhere outside that door, and I wasn't but a couple of steps behind him. And I'm sure that, you know, more people than not see spirits on a daily basis and just don't account it to that because, you know, just they either don't believe or it's one of those where you, what the hell is that? And you just shrug it off.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever, speaking of full bodies, have you ever seen a full-bodied apparition?
Yes, I have. Absolutely. And it was by pure accident. I was at home and walked around into the kitchen, and I saw a full apparition right there, and it just basically, like, dissipated. You know, just it's kind of weird because the majority of, well, actually, I've seen shadow figures and whatnot. The things that I've seen the most have always been, like, at home or when I haven't even been really looking for, you know, investigating at all.
You know, I recall once before we had spoken to you. It's been quite a while since you've been on the program with us, but give our listeners a little history on yourself and your experiences other than as an investigator, which I just think some of the experiences and shit are pretty fascinating.
Yeah, well, I initially started off with a group, just, you know, with some people, and then we ran into, like, scheduling issues, and I had planned an investigation, and pretty much everyone, you know, had things to do. So I had in my mind that I was still going to go. So I went, and I investigated alone, and it was, I was pretty much hooked from then on. And the amount of activity that I got by myself was a lot more, you know, that I experienced than with anybody else. And so from then on, I was, you know, I was hooked to go solo. And then probably the most intense experience I've had, I've been locked in basements before for 2 hours on accident. I've been bitten by a snake. What else? But as far as actual paranormal, at the Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanitarium, I saw a shadow figure. Well, keep in mind, this building is an eighth of a mile long, and I see a shadow figure walk across and block out the window. And, of course, you know, I went down there as fast as I could, and, you know, there was nothing there. But that was, when you see things like that, you know, it's just, I mean, it's just verification for your, you know, anything, any doubts that you ever had as, you know, I mean, every once in a while you start doubting things. I mean, I know I do. I mean, I believe in it, but you start doubting, you know, abilities and whatnot. And then when you see something like that, it kind of brings you back. Definitely.
Yeah. No, I'll fully agree with that. But, Jason, I know you got to roll and start getting ready for work and everything. But, Definitely appreciate having you on, and, you know, maybe this winter I'll take you up on the offer. I'll off the trailer the bike out, and we'll go ride the canyons.
Oh, yeah. Come on out here, man. I'm waiting for you. There's plenty of places to go riding around here.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what I was saying is a day of bliss of go hit the canyons, just ride our asses off, and then do an investigation. That would be awesome, my opinion.
Yeah, that is perfect. That's a perfect day right there.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, should make a show out of it.
Well, the only thing missing out of that.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, the only thing missing out of that itinerary was, and then we sit back at a campfire and have a few cold beers.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were working on a 9.5 there on the perfect day scale, but.
All right. So, let's make Dennis happy here. Is we'll ride all day. Do an investigation, and then do cold beers around a campfire. Is that sufficient, Dennis?
The part Dennis is the expert in.
Right. But, you know, as long as we have, you know, a paranormal expert along with us, then it would be like, you know, the epitome of the perfect day.
Right.
Well, we got Jason. Well, I got Jason.
Oh, and it needs to be filled with a bunch of orbs. We need to start snapping pictures as soon as we stop the bikes so we have all that orb energy, you know, stirred up and we can get all those pictures and see all the orb spirits around us.
right?
Yeah, and before I do those pictures, I'm going to river dance through the fucking desert and then say, oh, look, hey, look at all the ghosts that followed us.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we need. You know? And how much better? Wait, we can have a whole bunch of the rods and everything fly through. That would be cool.
Right.
I'm sure there's a bunch of insects and shit out in the desert that would be chasing the rods.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Well, thank you, guys. Man. I appreciate it, as always.
We appreciate it just as much, brother, believe me, if not more. But thanks for joining us again, Jason.
No problem. You guys have a good night.
You do the same, brother. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Yeah, that was Jason Musgrove, folks. Some pretty interesting stories and a little bit of theory, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Now you're just stuck with Matt and I, so get over it. And by the way, you are on Full Spectrum Radio Unleashed.
Where, who knows what the fuck is going to happen? Then, yeah.
Yes, and that's why it's unleashed.
Feel free to drop the F-bomb or the S-bomb or whatever. It is unleashed.
Well, I don't know. My mommy might be listening and she'll wash my mouth out again with soap, so I won't be dropping any F-bombs.
Your mom doesn't listen either, Cheryl, let's be honest.
My mommy always listens because she supports me 100%, fucker.
Well, mine's embarrassed. I'm kidding. No, mine.
Mine probably would be, too. Really, son, you're into all this? But, oh, hey. Yeah, see, that's what we would need. Ryan's got it pinned down. Ryan from Hellscene Paranormal Society has joined us in chat. He says it's all insect, ghosts, and haunted crickets. Exactly. And speaking of crickets and ghosts and everything, you know how to, and we're talking about riding bikes and everything, you know how to tell the happy motorcycle rider?
Yeah, he's the one on two wheels, face down on the pavement.
No, he's the one with all the bugs in his teeth. Duh.
Yeah. Just because I happen to pop on Facebook right now. But I haven't seen you comment. Did you see my question about everybody has their place of bliss and if money was no object? Yeah, and where would you be and why?
Well,
I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
So where would you be and why? I don't know why this is so hard.
I really don't know. I mean, you know, part of me says that I'd love to be somewhere on a nice warm beach with my toes in my sand and a drink in my hand. The other part of me says, no, I want to be somewhere where I can get out and play on the snowmobiles. And I really don't know. It's my place of bliss. I would say, I do know if I ever win the lottery and I build my own house and all of that crap, it's going to be, the house will be on a 1 acre plot of land, and it'll only be maybe a 1,800 square foot house, not huge, but big enough that I can have a man cave to get the hell away from all the bullshit. But that 1 acre of land that the house is built on is surrounded by 10 acres of woods with a nice fish pond out back. Most people would call it a lake. The nearest neighbor is a mid to late 1800s abandoned home that has had a lot of tragedy in it. Um, It would have beer delivery service, so I didn't even have to worry about wasting fuel. Are you getting where I'm going with this here? Away from everybody? Yeah, that would be me. Oh, and I want it on a hilltop. You know why I want the hilltop? And that way when the assholes come up the hill that I don't want to see, I can set up the trebuchet and send rocks towards the roadway. So, yeah, that would be my place of bliss.
Do you know why I posted that? Bro, you didn't know about it. You honestly didn't even know about it because you don't pay attention to what I post. But the reason why I posted that, and I was hearing about everybody's bliss and, like, where they'd be the most happy. And I completely agree with you. Not you in general, just everybody in general. Like, if you're happy in the mountains, you're happy in the Bahamas, you're happy wherever. But the one thing that has been left out of that, and this was my whole point in posting this, is to where I'm the happiest is wherever I'm at with the person that I love.
I knew you were going to go all mushy and shit on me. I don't care where I'm at, as long as I'm with my loved one.
No, and that's the honest-to-God truth, is your happiness is with, like, with the person that you're with or supposed to be with or whatever. Like, that's, it doesn't matter where you are, you make the shit work. And it wouldn't matter if I'm in the Alaskan fucking tundra, if my dream in my head of what I'm thinking about is being in the Caribbean and, you know, out in Hawaii or somewhere else. But, it would be a fucking nightmare if I had to think about that existence without the person that I'm in the tundra with, that I, like, that makes me smile in that time.
Yeah, well,
so,
I'm fine with that.
So I agree with everybody saying that I want, like, I want to be in the Northwest. I want to be in the mountains. I want to be in all these places. But would you want to do it alone? And that's the point that I was trying to get at. Is everybody was saying that they would, like, all these places alone, this is where I'd be happy. Oh, happiness is the person that you chose to be your partner.
And I want you to start having a gay relationship.
Shut the fuck up. Don't play, like, funnies. Like, attempting to be funny shit. Like, I'm actually being serious right now. If you're not happy in your relationship, get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. Don't hang on and, you know, wait for it to get better.
If
I'm
you're happier,
if it's not
in the
good
Bahamas,
now, it's not going to get better.
Dennis, this is just something we've never touched on. And I've spent a lot of money on, not saying relationships, just studying this shit.
Yeah, well, considering that your degree goes towards, you know, relationship, what was it, relationship therapy?
Yeah, well, my degree is abnormal psychology with a focus in relationship counseling.
Yeah, so me, I've never really thought about it. I mean, as long as I've got, I don't know, I mean, I can be alone or with someone, and I can be just as blissful. Sometimes I'm even more blissful alone. Why? Because then I don't have their noise to interact with my noise, and I don't know.
I guess, I mean, it all boils down to each their own. But one thing that I do know, science has proven that, you know, with no human interaction, humans lose their fucking minds. Look at the people that they have locked up in solitaire for extended periods of time. You know, for whatever reason, it's disciplinary or whatever. I mean, look at our prison system now. It doesn't allow for, you know, extreme amounts of time in solitary confinement simply because it drives the human being insane. I mean, it all depends on the individual as well, I believe. I think some people are better off alone. I think some people are better in a relationship simply because they have a slightly codependent personality. But then it also depends on the someone that they're with. So I really couldn't give you an answer as to whether I'd want to be alone or with somebody. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of humans.
But that was,
you know, if
that was
you look
a hell of an
at the,
answer.
Damn it. You go, then I'll go.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, if you look back at you know, history and the way that we used to treat our inmates and so forth in the prison systems, and they would lock them in. Well, look at Eastern State Penitentiary to begin with. The whole idea of Eastern State Penitentiary was every cell was solitary confinement. And they broke away from that because they realized that all of the inmates were reverting back to essentially animals. I mean, they were just becoming fucking animalistic. But that was what Eastern State Penitentiary started as. And Ryan, I beat you to the thought, uh-oh. But that was the whole idea of Eastern State Penitentiary, was we would put them in their own cell. Each cell had a skylight, basically, so they could commune with God and reflect upon what they did. Well, all they did was manage to make a bunch of fucking lunatic animals out of the inmates. There was no repentance there. There was no recovering. I'm going to refer to the chat room here. Ryan's got, yeah, I guess you could say that at its location. I would love to go back in time and spend Christmas Eve with my mom again. That would be true bliss. See, and it's not location. No matter where you spent Christmas Eve with your mom, it wouldn't have mattered whether it was home where you grew up or whether you spent Christmas Eve with your mom at some place that you absolutely hated to go on a normal basis. The simple fact that you were back spending time with mom on Christmas Eve, that in itself would make your own bliss. You know, I guess that's one thing here's a way to look at it too, Matt. We kind of make our own bliss no matter where we're at by how we look at the situation, don't we?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's, you know, it doesn't matter where you physically are. It doesn't matter anything, like, at all. What matters is the people that you love or the people that you miss. And unfortunately, it's the people that you miss that create your bliss. Because most people don't think about
location. That.
Huh?
But that's not a place. Your question was if you could go anywhere.
Yeah, but a place doesn't have to be a physical place. It's a mental place.
And I probably belong in a mental place, but that's beside the
point. We both do, brother. We both do.
But, yeah, I mean, your question was, if money was no object and you could live anywhere in the world forever, where would that be and why? The question doesn't have anything to do with who was around you or at what point in time or anything like that.
True, but it also doesn't exclude that.
I mean, hell, for that matter, if I could be any place, I would want to be, you know, back at the point in time when my brother, mother, and father were still alive. Time was hell to me. At this time, that would be bliss. But having my entire family tree other than myself gone, now I have a daughter, you know, but my core family, so to speak, blood related, is gone, other than my daughter. Now, if I could go back in time, that would be my place. That would be my place of bliss, even though then it was, well, my brother was 4 years older than me and used to love to show me how he my ass. But I think at this point in time, I'd pretty much give anything to take one of his ass kickings, just because that would mean he was here with me. So, just something to think about. My way of looking at it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that's the right answer. Yeah, I was going deep on that one.
Yeah, well, and you got too damn deep. And thanks for fucking up a really good show with getting deep on us.
But no, it's the honest to God truth is the place of bliss doesn't have to be a physical thing. It doesn't have to be a where you live. It's where you mentally are. And I'm not saying get all crazy and stupid and talk to your, like, lost ones. But in general, don't get it to the point to where you have to miss somebody if that's where you're happy.
Yeah. Happiness is where you're at in your mind, not where you're at physically. But, hey, Matt, I'm going to do something here. I've got Steve has joined us in chat, and I haven't had the chance for him to hear the EVPs from Rock Hall. And Steve is from Transcend Paranormal. He's actually the one that made it possible for me to get in there. So I'm going to reach onto the board here and play this for him.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
And Howard from All Seeing Paranormal has joined us. But anyway, I'm going to play the minute-long one from Rock Hall. And, Steve, I want you to listen to the response that I get after I mention get this. And then the argument over whether or not Harry can keep the light. So here we go.
Harry recording.
And set that down like here. You still have something in there. You don't need to, you know, put it up to your mouth or anything.
Sorry. I love you, brother. I'm not trying to be a little bitch, but I ain't gonna say about myself.
You punk ass. I got this.
Why don't we all go upstairs? We just sit around.
Hell no.
Why?
I want to see where the first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness. I'm keeping this flashlight on.
But if we split up...
Can I keep this flashlight on?
No.
I can't keep that on?
No. No.
Yeah.
Here.
Hold the glow stick.
But I'll go upstairs by myself. We're going to take that room and I'm going to sit upstairs.
I'll tell you that, sit upstairs.
Yeah.
That's it.
I get a chill.
Yeah. All right. And part of that is one of the things that is notorious in that location, according to Steve and the others there, is the breaths that you constantly get there. Two of them on that one, not to mention whatever the energy is. Exactly, Steve. Getting this, and that was my thing. But it's, you know, the getting this and then the yeah. Who's blowing? Are you offering, Howard? Oh, wait, no, you meant on the recording. Yeah, that we don't know. That's just part.
All right.
Steve, yeah, I mean, it is fantastic.
Steve, if you want to call in for the last, like, what have we got? 13 minutes, somewhere in there. You're more than welcome to, but I do have a problem with that whole EVP session. The getting this or get this, that I don't have a problem with. The yeah, and then the vocal lifts, I do have a problem with.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody was closer than 3 feet or so from a recorder, and it's on all three recorders. Just as loud as the first ones.
Yeah, I know, but I think that the and the other stuff, I think it was Harry trying to prepare himself. This or getting this, I would hands down say, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
And the yeah is also right there with the getting this. That one can't be explained either.
That one I wouldn't agree with.
Well, if you actually listen to it, you will, because it comes in like he would have had to say, yeah, and then start speaking immediately. You can't do that.
No, I understand what you're getting at from that, but I mean, with the and the breaths and stuff like that, they all sound the same, at least
right.
Coming through the phone. I could be totally wrong, but yeah, I will question those. The getting this and the yeah and all that stuff, like the getting this and yeah, I will. It's not the same speech pattern. The yeah and the rest of them are. So those I will question.
Yeah, I mean, it was, the breaths are one of the most common things, even when nobody's near a recorder. And that's, the fact that it was, yeah, I mean, Steve's talking about it was on a recorder that was about 6 feet from anyone placed in the middle of the room. We were getting breaths identical to that earlier. And, I mean, you're welcome to dispute them. I don't care. But the fact of the matter is I'm going to have, well, like I said, I've already talked to David Roundtree. I've already spoke to Mark and Debbie to see if they will review it. I've offered to ship them the recorders. You know, I want to be able to break it into the spectrum that voice alone was captured at and make sure that it's not in the human range of vocalization. Fantastic. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't want them to be disputed in any way, shape, or form because I'm totally convinced that whatever energy was in that room was right fucking on us. And I mean,
it was just cool as hell. So, again, kudos, Steve. Thanks for making it possible for me to even get in that location. And I've got to get back in there now because now I have some ammo to go back with. And here's one of the things that I want to try. I want to play its own voice back to it and see if that will create the ability to have a full and open communication with it. You know, if I play that recording back and let whatever energy is there hear its own voice and know that we can talk to it and we can hear it, then I want to see if I can open up a line of communication completely. My other thing that I want to do, and Steve, don't you do this before me, Rick, I want to be able to sit with just three or four people maximum. And have just a kind of round table discussion. Hey, my name's Dennis. I'm from Richmond. I was born, July 29, 1969. Hi, my name's Steve, blah, blah, blah. And I want to see if we can get that energy to interact just like it did on this session, because we weren't even asking Q&A at that point. There was nothing going on other than just us shooting the shit about what's going to happen, and who's going where. And he jumped right in and joined in. And, that's what Steve had told us at the beginning of the night, was he doesn't do so much during the Q&As as he does just jump right into a damn conversation. And I want to be able to do that and see if I can get, if we do the round table of, my name is Dennis, born, blah, 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 and just round table that information and see if he joins in. I mean, how fucking phenomenal would it be if we get, my name is Robert, I was born in 1583. I mean, would that not be fucking awesome?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
I mean, that one would definitely make me piddle myself. I promise there will be a few drops come out on that one.
And but, Dennis, let me clarify something. I wasn't belittling or undermining anything that you've got.
No. I didn't take it that way at all.
I would not be doing my job if I didn't question it. To have you question it.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I took it with no, just thinking it was blatant, If I didn't question it myself, then I wouldn't be doing my job right. My job as an investigator is to question everything. The first thing I should be doing is trying to debunk everything. Just because something goes bang, did a rodent knock something off the wall, or should I just automatically go, holy Christ, did you hear that? Spirit must be pissed off and knocked that thing off the shelf. No, I wouldn't be doing my damn job if I took everything at face value and didn't try to find a logical reason for it otherwise. So that's what I'm after. But, I think it would be phenomenal if we were able to do just a, round table bullshit session, hey, this is blah, 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 and take it from there and see what we get for an answer. Hey, Ross, thanks for joining us, brother. And by the way, you're not an expert. Nobody's an expert. Smart ass. Just so you know, this week, Matt, after we ran so much shit about expert this and expert that last week on the show, Ross came in and comes in with, he has changed his name to Canadian Ross Demon Expert. He is an expert attention whore, yes. I'll give you that one, Ross, most definitely. But thanks for joining us again, brother. But yeah, I'd love to be able to sit down with, just three, four people, I would say four at a maximum. Do a roundtable information share about yourself and see if he joins in like he did on this instance. But, now here's the question. Who was the energy that joined us? you know, the sad part is we can't prove that it's anybody known historically there because, well, he didn't give us his name or a dossier about himself. He just gave us a couple of words. None of us know his voice. You know, so, and Steve just put in chat that he's never given his name. Well, I think it would be phenomenal. Well, everybody knows it would be phenomenal. But, you know, I think it would be phenomenal to get a name. However, I'd love to go around that son of a bitch at some point and put, like, you know, cricket exterminator to get rid of them noisy bastards.
Well, Dennis, can you find out his name?
I don't know how you would because they're, you know, keep in mind this is a 400-year-old location. How many people have been in that area in 400 years?
True.
Now, you know, they have, well, one of the people that are supposed to be directly related to that house was Captain John Smith and Pocahontas, and also a reverend, but I can't remember his name. I'll see if Steve types him into the chat for me. The name of the reverend in that building, Steve, we know he's tied to that property, Reverend John Proctor. Thank you, Steve. The trouble is we don't know Captain John Smith that gave me the getting this, or is it Reverend John Proctor? Well, we don't know. And how many countless hundreds or even thousands of other people are tied to that building, which,
hey,
by the way,
real quick, we got less than a minute and a half left.
Well, let's throw out our shameless plugs. A minute.
We got
off.
A minute. So yeah,
make sure to join us on Wednesday night.
Oh God damn! Go ahead.
Nope, you take it.
All right, join us on Wednesday night for Full Spectrum, where Dennis and I will be back on. Also, find us at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis on Facebook. Also, CPR Matt and CPR Dennis on Twitter. Any other questions you have, you can also post them to CPR or CharlotteLineParanormalResearchers.com. Yeah, I fucked it up, Dennis. I know you're going to say something, but...
I wouldn't
want to
say a thing, brother.
That, yeah.
You want me to throw them out right quick?
Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry for this travesty.
Art guys.
Well, the last quarter of the show,
us,
I should
Steve.
Say.
Thank you, folks, for joining us. It'll probably shut you down very shortly. I don't know. Hopefully you can still hear us.
They're shut down already. I fucked that one up.
Oh, too damn funny. Hey, they might still be hearing us. Hey, if you guys can still hear us, somebody type into the chat room and tell me yes.
Hopefully it's a no.
Oh, just too damn funny. Hey, can I play the hotel room? No, can I? Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Since it doesn't make a
go ahead.
It's all right. I'm going to bug out anyway, brother. But,
it puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Yeah. Kind of used to that one.
Yeah, that was just too damn much fun. But hey, folks, want to thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pretty damn interesting show. Feel free to look us up, CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both on Facebook and Twitter. You can also find SoundCloud.com, CPR Matt or CPR Dennis. Check out Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on Facebook and at the .com. Look for us again Wednesday night on Full Spectrum Radio when who the hell knows who we'll have for a guest. But I'm sure of one thing,
you'll have a damn good time joining us.
I am an